Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to an encore edition of Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It's the centennial of Norwegian playwright Henrik Ibsen's passing, and his legacy is being examined all over the world. Here in New York, the Brooklyn Academy of Music is showcasing director Robert Wilson's setting of Peer Gynt, Ibsen's classic tale of a search for identity. The music was written by composer and violinist Michael Galasso, who has scored dozens of movies, including Chungking Express, and who joins us now. Michael, welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thank you, John. It's great to be back.
Now, you've done quite a few movie scores over the years, but, you know, approaching this piece, a four-hour Robert Wilson extravaganza, had to be a very different kind of experience.
Well, I think the different part about this one, actually the thing that was different about Peer Gynt was the actual play itself, because it goes all over the place. It takes place in Norway mostly in the beginning of the first three acts, except for a fantasy part that's in basically troll land and the palace of the trolls. And then it goes to Morocco, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt, and then back to Norway. And so it made it kind of, you couldn't do one music for it. It had to have different elements from different parts of the world.
Now, you are a violinist, and Norway has this very rich, very specific sound of the Hardanger fiddle.
Yes, exactly.
So you have to deal with that or decide not to deal with it.
Well, when I came in, the first thing we had to decide was, okay, are we going to, how are we going to do this? What kind of music are we going to have? And so Bob and I and the theater all went, okay, Norwegian folk, is that okay? Yes, that's okay. We all were happy with that. So then I knew, okay, what's the national instrument of Norway? Okay, the Harding fiddle. Okay, so a violin, basically, all right? And the only thing they do is they put some resonant strings underneath and like this, and they tune it weird, okay? Mm-hmm. And the other national instrument is the mouth harp, or Jew's harp, what we call a Jew's harp. And I said, oh, yeah, well, that's okay. I know what to do with that. No. And then I discovered, then I did some research before on some of the other instruments. But musically speaking, Scandinavian music is very familiar to us because it became country western, basically, you know.
So, right.
And mixed with the Scots and the Irish. And
it's one of the sources of our folk music.
It's one of the sources of our folk music, especially if you go up to the northern part of the United States. So that made it, you know, difficult. But you know what's funny about doing film music is that I started out making music for Bob for images. So actually doing film music for me is easy because Bob is much more difficult. And you have to do things for hours and hours. And a film is, if you have 30 minutes of music in a film or 45, that's a lot.
Right.
Okay. So,
well, and we can talk a little bit about you and Robert Wilson because the two of you go way back. But there was another wrinkle in the production of this piece, and that is that you are just basically out of the hospital after a liver transplant. So you were dealing with some major health issues while attempting to write, 4 hours worth of music?
Yeah. It was because at the end of 2004, we decided that I needed a transplant because at that point it was getting too difficult for me to work long hours. And, of course, with Bob, we worked for a month from 10 to 10. No days off, and then I went from one show to another like this.
Mm-hmm. So, and you had been diagnosed sort of out of the blue with hepatitis C?
Yeah, like in 2003 I discovered I had it, and they said, oh, well, you've had this for 30 years. And I went, oh, wow, gee, that's nice. What happens? Well, they just sort of tell you what can happen, and it's not none of the things are good.
There's nothing good behind any
nothing
of those doors.
Nothing good behind any of it, except the transplant, if it's successful. I end up supposedly, after I've finished recuperating, with the energy of a 30-year-old. You know, and I'm 57, mm-hmm. so I'm supposed to have the energy of a 30-year-old. So,
All right, well.
I'm waiting.
Okay, well, you know, it hasn't been that long.
No, it hasn't.
I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I should mention you're based in France.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of surprised you're here.
My doctors, they wanted me, they knew I wanted to come, and morale is such an important part of recovery that they let me out. But 3 weeks ago, it was not possible.
Hmm.
And then they finally, something got better, and they let me come.
My guest is Michael Galasso, violinist and composer, and he is doing the music for this huge new production by Robert Wilson of Peer Gynt by Ibsen. Now, as soon as you say the words Peer Gynt and music together, people will automatically think of the very famous Edvard Grieg, which is familiar to listeners all over the world. All right, Michael Galasso, when Bob Wilson comes to you and says, we're doing Peer Gynt, you have to deal with this.
Exactly. And so the first thing I told the Norwegians is, it's not going to be Grieg. And the big problem, though, was Solveig's song, which is very famous, okay, because that's the most famous one. But when I was a child, I was a prodigy, so I was playing in orchestras when I was a teenager and even younger. And so I used to play the Peer Gynt suite and Solveig's song, and one of them was the Palace of the Trolls, you know, is one of the parts of it. So I knew this music, you know, but I could not listen to it at all. If I ever listened at all to it, you know, in that period, that would be deadly.
It would start seeping in.
It would seep in somehow. It would seep in. So I couldn't listen to that at all. But at the same time, I had to deal with it.
Right.
I had to know that that was there, you know. And so it was tricky doing the troll scene and the Solveig song because people would know the Grieg, especially in Norway.
Well, let's hear what what you actually did end up composing. This is some of the music from Peer Gynt. The new production by Robert Wilson has a definite kind of world music flavor. It's music from my guest, Michael Galasso. Michael Galasso, that's not Edvard Grieg by a long shot. There's a little bit of the good, the bad, and the ugly kind of vibe to this.
No, this was the most amazing. This piece, I think, is really, truly amazing because I went to Tashkent to record musicians from Tajikistan. And I had a few Uzbek musicians, too. And one of them is this guy playing this dudek, which is this kind of oboe wind thing. It's a double reed from Middle Eastern double reed, Central Asian, actually. And I was trying, one of the pieces, I was trying to get them to do Jimi Hendrix, you know? But they don't know Jimi Hendrix. They have no idea of rock music or any of those kinds of progressions. So I'm strumming away on my violin, and I got this dotar player to do this unbelievable Jimi Hendrix number. It's not in this show. It's in something else. And then I tried this one. And he was playing, just playing around, tuning up, the dotar, but he hit these two chords.
The dotar is a lute.
And I went, wait, keep that. Look, just play that. Then I had the other guy, and I'm playing on the violin this flute, this oboe melody, and then the other guy doing, it sounds like Morricone.
Exactly.
But this is a setar from Tajikistan. It has nothing to do with...
So you're in the room with them, and you're playing on the violin the stuff. It's not written out. They're not going to
read
Western music.
They can't read Western music, you know.
So it's all done oral tradition.
Oral tradition, exactly. Right.
Michael Galasso, the music is for Peer Gynt, a four-hour extravaganza, which is up and running at BAM. It is a treat to look at, as all of Robert Wilson's things are, provided you're not sitting too close to the stage because it's in Norwegian and the super titles are way up high by the ceiling, and I was getting kind of a crick in the neck, you know, trying to follow all the action. How closely could you be involved in the production of in the way the music was going to work within the production, given the fact that you were, you know, dealing with a liver transplant and all that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, at that point, I was for most of the production, I was just, you know, not in that good a shape, but it wasn't anything like that. But Bob and I have our own way of working on things, which we've been doing for years and more, and depending on the play, but this one in particular, what would happen is we know what the scene is about, but we're not dealing with the text yet. And Bob would say, okay, blackout, music. And so I would just have to improvise something, knowing what the scene's about, and he would do the same thing. And we would just make this thing, and this became the basis for the whole thing. And I'm just playing on my violin because of this show, because it's in Norwegian, and of course the violin is the main instrument. I was able to just play my violin for most of these rehearsals. Mm. And so we make it at the same time, and then as it gets repeated by the actors, I refine the music part, and then eventually I record it.
I mentioned before that you and Robert Wilson go way back. His earliest pieces were silent. Then he began to put in just little bits of music almost incidentally, and that seems to be where you came in. You came in really early in his career.
Yeah, at the beginning, you know, the first one, which is the famous one, was Deaf Man Glance, which he was discovered really at the Théâtre des Nations, the Theater of Nations in Nancy in France in 1970, and it became this rage, and became called silent opera, the French call it. But actually, there was sound almost all the time in that show, but very minimal. You had the Blue Danube Waltz, you had the Fauré Requiem played backwards, and you had a little bit of the Moonlight Sonata. So it wasn't completely mm-hmm, silent, mm-hmm. but for 7 hours, if you had maybe 15 minutes of music,
yeah.
I'd say that would make it pretty much for a silent opera. And but then I did these early pieces with him, including Life and Times of Joseph Stalin in New York at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, 1973. And we had a little bit stuff there. I wrote my first musical composition for one of the scenes and like this and another one for that. But then the next play was A Letter for Queen Victoria, and I put music from beginning to end. And that was in 74. And ever since then...
Well, and now music has become central to yeah. the Robert Wilson yeah. experience, to the yeah. point where he's directing Wagner operas yeah. and stuff like that. And so it seemed like for a while, for kind of a long period of time, you went your separate ways mm-hmm. and then came back together again. In the late 90s, by which point you must have felt like you were working with a completely different guy?
Yes, it was a completely different guy. At the same time, it was the same guy. You know, it's actually he knew so much more about music at this point.
Right.
I had sort of a carte blanche for the first one, you know, mm-hmm. after that. and of course, the piece after that one was Einstein and the Beach, which was another experience. So,
right.
So it was a learning process. And Bob had gotten much more interested in music and how it worked in shows because he learned from all of us, you know,
right.
what music could do.
And from Philip Glass mm-hmm. and David Byrne mm-hmm. and Tom Waits and all mm-hmm. the composers mm-hmm. who came after you. Mm-hmm. Michael Galasso is my guest. During the years when you were not working with Robert Wilson, you managed to put out a couple of CDs mm-hmm. for the prestigious ECM label, mm-hmm. CDs that were separated by something like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent one was released last year, and it's called High Lines. Is this a different musical experience from working on plays and film?
Yes, this one was very different, especially, well, the main difference is when you work with Manfred Eicher, who's the director of, and founder of ECM, he has his own particular ideas and aesthetics, and so you have to deal with that. And the first record was pieces of that I'd written already over 7 years, just violin. And for this one, though, we said, well, you know, what would you like to do? Manfred said, what would you like to do? I said, well, I don't know. Let's play with something. What about a guitar? I said, well can we get Terry Ripdahl? And he says, yeah, why not?
He's Norwegian Norway, guitarist.
Yeah. We're going to record up in Oslo. And I said, yeah, okay. So then this one was, we went into the studio and we improvised this stuff, some of this stuff. Not everything, you know, but... And we just go in, because that's how Manfred likes to work. You create the thing together as a group.
Well, in this piece, this is actually
this is a solo
for violin.
Yeah.
And this is called Chaconne, and it has a kind of a classical, almost mm-hmm. quasi-baroque sound. It's mm-hmm. music from my guest, Michael Galasso. ¶¶ Some music from Michael Galasso's last album, Highlines, from last year. The album before that, called Scenes, 20 years earlier on the same ECM record label, also a terrific record. Michael Galasso, great to see you up and about, and good luck with continuing recovery, and congratulations on the new score.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Allison Lichter and Brian Wise. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. I'm John Schaefer. Join us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck here on New York Public Radio.